We're in chapter number 5 of 1 John, dealing with this subject, the sin unto death. It's not necessarily a pleasant subject to deal with, but it's a needed subject to deal with. In John chapter number 5, verse number 16, here are the words that he says, "If any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask, and he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. There is a sin unto death. I do not say that he shall pray for it." Sad.
Yes.
Father, again, I pray you will bless our efforts. But Lord, help me and these to understand that there is no need in the vessel standing if he's not filled to be spilled.
Amen.
So fill me, dear God. Let me say what needs to be said in these moments tonight. May these moments not be wasted, but rather may they add to the spiritual growth of every person in this building. And if they know not the Lord, may this be the very night that the warning comes and the Spirit of God leads.
Yes.
And God births you into the household of faith.
Amen.
Let it be so in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
And amen. When we dealt with this subject on our last meeting together, we were dealing with Ananias and Sapphira in chapter number 5. of the book of Acts. I think it needful that we turn back there again tonight and pick up the reading from this account of this sin. Now, we've noticed this sin in several different areas, if you remember. Here is one that literally happens in the church.
Yes.
The church had begun to grow. And those were being added to the church, the scripture says, daily, such as should be saved. Need to read that if you don't understand it twice, and then pick up you a good commentary. Somebody knows what they're talking about. Or come and ask me, I'll tell you what it means in a New York minute.
Amen.
God in heaven chooses whom he will and puts them into the church. Brings them in according to his will, not according to their will, but according to his will. And when God births you into the church, you are a part of the household of faith.
Amen.
And as my brother said to you this morning, you can't unfix that.
Amen.
That's not the word to use, but I'm telling you, you can't unfix it.
Amen.
When God fixes it and brings you into the household, you can't unfix something that God does.
Amen.
So you're in for the duration. You may as well learn how to enjoy it. Say amen right there.
Amen.
Yes.
There are times that you'll get in circumstances that you can't get out of.
Amen.
When we were training pilots in Florida, we'd go down to Lake George and do bombing runs at an old wrecked ship down there. And every time we'd get a new pilot on the plane, we had to train that dude. I didn't want to go. I want somebody else to go with this dude. Take somebody else with you.
Amen.
For two reasons. Number one, if you can't fly the airplane and you get down there and do bombing runs, somebody is going to get sick.
Amen.
And most of the time, guess who it is?
Yeah. Oh.
Them. And guess where they deposit.
Amen.
Hello. So I just rather not go. You get in situations from time to time that you just would rather get out of the circumstance, right?
Amen.
But you can't get out of this circumstance.
No, sir.
If you belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, you're in for the duration.
Amen.
And when this ship pulls on shore, on the other shore, you will be on board. Say amen right there.
Yes.
Now here's what happens in Acts chapter 5. A certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the price. His wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? Whilst it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost. And great fear came on all them that heard these things. And the young men arose and wound him up and carried him out and buried him. And at about the space of 3 hours, now she wasn't with him when he comes. First of all, he came to make the announcement. Now she shows up 3 hours late. She's like most women. She's combing her hair, fixing her lipstick, putting on her pancake mix, Amen. Making sure all of her clothes match, Amen. Right? Looking in the mirror. Hello, girls. Amen. Right? Wondering if you look all right. And then she shows up. And when she shows up, Peter says to her, verse number 8, tell me whether ye sold the land for so much. And she said, yea, for so much. Then Peter said to her, how is it that ye have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are in the door, at the door, and shall carry thee out. Then fell she down straightway at his feet, and yielded up the ghost. And the young men came in and found her dead, carried her forth, and buried her by her husband.
Amen.
Now here, this sin unto death occurs in the church.
Amen.
Now I am convinced at this point that Ananias and Sapphira were really not saved. I think they had taken on the name and got in for popularity's sake or for some other reason, but nonetheless they were not a part of the household of faith.
Amen.
And when they come to sell their land, now here's an important thought, listen to me. When they come to sell their land, they are willing to lie to God. It hadn't been long since someone asked me, says, what does that mean? Well, let me explain it to you. They sold the land. Let me just put some figures together. They sold the land for, let's say $500. And they made up their mind that we're only going to give the church half of this, and we're going to act like it's the whole
Amen.
Price for the land.
Amen.
So when they come in, or he comes in, he gives them $250 and acts as though this is the price of the land. Everyone else had been selling their properties and bringing all of it to the church. Now they decide, we're going to do this, but we're going to keep a little bit back. Reminds me of some folks I've known down through the years. Some folks who have disobeyed God when it comes to their giving.
Amen.
And there are a lot of folks who like to be seen in their giving.
Amen.
There wouldn't be anybody here like that, would there?
Amen.
Listen, when you give, here's one of those times that your right hand don't need to know what your left hand's doing.
Amen.
This is one of those times that you don't blow your trumpet. Jesus said these Pharisees are out there doing it that way. You see, when they would come to give their offering, they'd have trumpeters in front of them. Yeah. They'd be in front of them saying, look, and he'd be saying, look at me, I'm going to give my offering to the Lord.
Amen.
Doesn't that sound just like a good Baptist?
Amen.
And they'd show up with their offering, you know, and the horns would blow, and everybody'd say, "Oh, great, look at this they've given." Now, that's hypocrite of hypocrites, is it not?
Amen.
Let me talk about giving just a moment. That was not part of what I had to do tonight, but I'm going to talk about giving for a minute.
Amen.
Giving is one of the most spiritual things you can do after God saves you.
Amen.
It's not necessarily something that you have to do. It's something that you do from the heart.
Amen.
It's something that comes because you love Him more than you love your billfold.
Amen.
And your purse. It's something that you do because it is to advance the work of God.
Amen.
Are you aware? Now, I just left Louisiana week before last. And when I crossed the river and got into Louisiana, I got news for you. About the only thing you can pick up is Jimmy Swigheart. Now, I like to hear Jimmy sing.
Amen.
And I've heard him preach some pretty good messages from time to time. But let me tell you something. If I ever heard a begging preacher who is already a multimillionaire,
amen,
if that doesn't make you sick, something ought to.
Amen.
Now, what I started to say is this. People like that and situations that have nothing to do with the grace of God and salvation raise millions of dollars, sometimes millions of dollars a month, even a week.
Amen.
And churches that preach the truth and handle the Word of God with grace are struggling to stay alive.
Amen. That's
right. Now you tell me what's going on.
Amen.
And there are Baptist people, look up here, we're not praying yet. There are Baptist people in Baptist churches that are giving to causes like that.
Yes, amen.
And robbing their own church.
Amen.
From the blessing.
Amen.
And by the way, robbing themselves of the blessing.
Yes.
But you see, what they're going to do is send them a piece of the cross. Now look up here. That cross wasn't big enough to send you a piece along with millions of others.
Amen.
Who are duped the same way you are to get a piece of the cross.
Amen.
How big you think it was? And they're going to send you a piece of it? Oh, I'm sorry. That is not going to work.
Amen.
If it's not that, it's a piece of the cloth he was wrapped
Amen.
In. And if it's not that, it's an old sweaty handkerchief that he used when he was preaching an untruth and wiping sweat from his face that the devil had put on him. Say amen right
amen.
There. And you're going to want an old sweaty rag?
Amen.
That came from some hypocrite?
Amen.
Now, I said that to say this. You need to hear it.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
You need to hear it. Because most people, listen, we're never warned and we fall into these stinking lies and believe them and jump on the bus and ride it on till we fall from the blessings that God has for us. Robbing yourself of the blessing of God. Ananias and Sapphira come to Simon Peter and they offer their offering. Different times, lying, both of them, to the Holy Ghost. I don't know about you, but this kind of reminds me of a garden a long time ago.
Amen.
When the serpent beguiled a woman, and she then convinced her husband.
Amen.
And they agreed together. You see that?
Yes.
They agreed together, and they lost their connecting link with God.
Amen.
They died that day spiritually.
Amen.
Had they not been warned?
Amen.
Sure they had. They'd been told specifically, if you eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, then you're going to die.
Amen.
Now, I don't know how many times someone's came to me and said, Dr. Larry, do you think that means I know everything? Ginger thinks I do, but you folks ought to have better sense.
Amen.
But what they do, they come to you and ask the question, why didn't they die? Sweetheart, they did die.
Amen.
Doornailed dead. 4 o'clock in the morning, dead. They died. The moment they partook of the fruit, they died. Spiritual death took them and broke that connecting link with God and then bound them for the grave.
Amen.
But the most important thing is they lost that connecting link with God.
Amen.
They died spiritually.
Yes.
Now, I'm not going to go back through this again, but it's very simple that when God created us, we were threefold beings in Adam.
Amen.
And when that spiritual link left, there is no connecting link with God. They still got along with each other, and they still got along in the world, but they had no connecting link with God. The Holy Ghost left them, God deserted them, and ran them out of the garden.
Amen.
And put a flaming sword at the gate to make sure they didn't go back.
Amen.
You know what that means? That means Adam left the garden a rebel.
Amen.
I sure don't have time to get into this, but you might want to check and see if Adam ever came back to God. I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll give you a fresh, new $100 bill that my wife will make. If you can find anywhere in your Bible where there is a hint that Adam was ever saved. I just said something that's going to rack minds across the radio waves.
Amen.
Find me a place.
Amen.
Every time you find Adam mentioned in that Bible, it's always contrasting him and Christ. Never comparing, contrasting him and Christ.
Amen.
And Job said, I will not hide my sin as did Adam.
Amen.
Let me show you a truth that you'll never get otherwise. I'm going to, I know that I'm not here, but I'm here. When Adam left that garden, now get a hold of this, will you? Just stay with me. This is what I taught in fourth year seminary. I didn't get this in the first or second, third year. This is fourth year stuff. When Adam left that garden, he left there absent of God.
Amen.
And there's never another man birthed into this world that is like Adam was when he was created until the last Adam shows up. There's not one man in the Old Testament or woman whom the Holy Ghost comes and lives inside them. He comes upon them for the task and leaves.
Amen.
Until Jesus Christ came, the Holy Ghost never indwelt another living man. But since Christ.
Amen. Amen.
You see, what Adam lost in the garden, Jesus bought back on a cross.
Amen.
And what Adam could not keep, Jesus Christ gives you, and you keep it.
Amen.
by His grace.
Yes, amen.
So the Holy Spirit indwells us. Now that puts us as believers back as Adam was in the garden. Watch it now, even more so because the Spirit of God is not going to leave you vacant.
Amen.
You can grieve Him. You can quench Him. You can make Him angry. But He's still present.
Amen.
Because He's part of the salvation experience.
Amen.
If the Holy Ghost leaves you, you're without salvation.
Amen.
So isn't it great that He cannot leave?
Amen.
Now He'll get silent.
Yes.
Let me ask you something. You that have been saved for about 3 weeks, has the Holy Ghost ever been silent in your life?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Just as sure as God made little green apples.
Yes.
The Holy Ghost to get silent. You grieve Him, you're disobedient, and He just clams up.
Amen.
You try to pray, He doesn't translate.
Amen.
Did you hear what I said?
Amen.
When you pray, He don't translate.
Amen.
You do know that the Holy Ghost translates your prayers.
Yes.
Some of you do. And the rest of you know now.
Amen.
You see, the Holy Ghost, He's the one who carries our prayers before the throne. And He's the one that makes those groanings that you and I can't understand in another world. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You say you'll be saying something down here and the Holy Ghost knows what you need and He's talking something else up there. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Because you don't know what you need.
Right.
That's what He said. You don't know what you need, but the Holy Ghost knows what you need.
Amen.
Yes.
And you'll be saying one thing and the Holy Ghost saying something else before the throne.
Amen.
And you'll wonder why that happened. Because somebody else knew what you needed.
Amen.
Now, if you don't think that's worth going to church on Sunday night for, huh?
Amen.
Oh, yeah.
Amen.
Listen, God's little young'uns are missing so much of the Christian life because you don't believe anything.
Amen.
Paul said in the Hebrew letter, let's go on.
Yes.
Not laying again the foundation from dead works and repentance of sin and baptism and so on and so forth. Don't spend your time down at the river. Get away from the river. Thank God and go on with God.
Amen.
Grow up. Grow up. No one brings children into this world and wants them to stay babies.
Amen.
You want them to grow up. So much so that you put them over next to the door and you make a little mark. And then a few weeks you'll take them back and see if they've grown any. How many of you have done that? The rest of you lying.
Amen.
If you've had children somewhere along the road, you've checked their measurements.
Yes.
Woo, they're growing up. Thank God.
Amen.
When I was pastoring in Florida, a young couple, I noticed that he would come Sunday morning, she'd come Sunday night, and the next week she'd come Sunday morning, he'd come Sunday night. And I went to visit with them one afternoon. And I asked them, I said, why aren't you coming together to church? And tears came into her eyes. And she said, Brother Larry, we have a child in the next room. 32 years old, still in diapers, still suck a bottle, never grew. In that little crib for over 30 years. And she took me into the room and I looked at that child, I guess you'd call. And my heart went plumb to my feet. But God told me something right there. There are a lot of church folk sitting on church pews that are still in the cradle, Amen. Still sucking the bottle, Amen. Never growing up.
Amen.
Because they don't want to grow. They don't want to know anything because when they learn something, it confronts them in their sin.
Amen.
Now, don't you think that's not so? People across this nation in churches tonight are sitting there. They don't want to know what the preacher's saying. They don't want to learn anything because they're afraid they'll have to repent to go on with God.
Amen.
God help us.
Amen.
Growing up is important. Extremely
Amen.
Important. God help us to grow up.
Amen.
Well, Ananias and Sapphira, they took a bus and left out of me to go, but they're back. Ananias and Sapphira have lied now
Amen.
To God's man. And Simon Peter said, you haven't lied to me. You've lied to the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Further on in the text, it says you've lied to God. Furthermore, they'd lied to the church.
Amen.
Consorted together, we're just going to do this thing kind of undercover. Now, folks, listen to me. If you ever get the idea that you can lie to God, what you need to do is walk up to the mirror and slap your face real hard
Amen.
And come back alive. Because you're not going to lie to God.
Amen.
And you're not going to hide from God. That brings something to mind. When Benny was a boy, he really was a little fella at one time. And his mother put him in his room and told him to take a nap. Well, she went back to check on him in a few minutes. And he's in there playing with his toys. And she said, I thought I told you to take a nap. Don't you realize that God knows whether or not you're being obedient? Now, some of you don't need to laugh at what I'm going to tell you. Here's what he said. No, Mama, I pull the shade.
Amen.
At that age, the boy was conscious enough to know that God could see him. So like Adam, he pulled the shade.
Amen.
And his mama had to explain to him that God could see even if you pull the shade.
Amen.
So here's the problem. We have a world full of Baptist people that are pulling the shade and thinking God doesn't know what's going on.
Amen. That's right, brother.
Let me remind you of something. God knows everything.
Amen.
He knows the good and the bad in your life.
Amen.
He knows every lie we've told. Notice I said we.
Amen.
Huh? He knows everything you've stole. He knows every sidestep you've ever taken.
Amen.
Now look up here. How many of you really think you deserve to go to heaven?
Amen.
Could I see a show of hands, please? Oh, no. None of us deserve to go to heaven.
Amen.
Not one single person.
Amen.
But thank God.
Amen.
All my sins, past, present, and future, have been paid for.
Amen.
2,000 years ago.
Amen.
Paid in full.
Yes. Amen.
Christ didn't play when he went to the cross.
No, he didn't.
He went there to pay.
Amen.
For your sins.
Yes.
And for my sins.
Yes, he did.
Unlike the Old Testament priest who had to go inside the most holy place first of all and pay for his own sin.
Yes, he did.
Had to deal with his own sin before he could deal with the sins of the people. And then now he can take the blood of the second goat and offer it before God.
Yes, amen. Amen. Yes, he did.
But the fact remains that there are multitudes of people today, for some reason or the other, think they can hide.
Amen.
From the God of glory.
Amen.
He knows.
Amen.
He knows it all. He is omniscient. Now, that word kind of stumps a lot of folks. What it means is God is all knowing. He knows everything.
Amen.
And he is omnipotent. That means he is all powerful. He is also omnipresent, which means he is everywhere at any single time.
Amen.
Let me give you this. I'm going to shut up tonight. Listen. A lot of folks have said from time to time in my presence, Brother Larry, why didn't Jesus just stay here after the resurrection? See me? How many places can this body be? One place at any one time.
Amen.
But he said, I'm going back to the Father.
Amen.
But I'm going to send.
Yes, you do.
Hallelujah. I'm going to send the Holy Ghost. And when he comes, he's going to tell you of me.
Amen. Right?
He's not going to speak of himself. Now listen carefully to what I'm saying to you. He's not going to speak of himself, but he's going to tell you of me.
Amen.
Boy, that sure knocks religion plumb out the back door, doesn't it?
Yes.
The Holy Ghost doesn't come to magnify gifts. He's here to magnify Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
He speaks of him. That's why he went back to the Father to send the Holy Ghost so he can be here and there and everywhere a believer happens to be.
Amen.
Because, hey, because he lives inside of me. I've never been alone since God saved me.
Amen.
Never.
Amen.
You never have been alone since God saved you. I don't know about you, but I don't necessarily like being alone.
Amen.
No. And you won't either if you realize who your guest is.
Amen.
I wonder how many times I've gone somewhere and somebody said, are you by yourself? No. No, not since. I was 8.5 years old. I have not been alone. He's always there.
Amen.
And he's there to represent the Son of God.
Amen.
Christ in you. Christ in me, the hope of glory.
Amen.
Aren't you glad you're not by yourself?
Amen.
Next time, hey, if you know the Lord Jesus, next time you kind of get to feeling alone, just get over the feeling.
Amen.
There's somebody with you.
Amen.
Somebody with, by the way, somebody you can talk to. Someone you can have communion with.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
Somebody you can express your love to, and believe it or not, He'll express the love of Christ back to you.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah. Boy, it's great to be saved.
Amen.
My brother said this morning, it's great to be saved. My soul, it's great to be saved. How in the world I got off on that, I don't know. But, hey, God's people, we ought to start tonight. Every one of us ought to just make a new revolution.
Amen.
Not resolution, revolution in your heart. You know, and decide, hey, I'm going to grow up.
Amen.
I'm going to grow up.
Amen.
No need for me being where I am. I'm going to grow up.
Amen.
Read that book. Read that book. And apply that book to your life. And enjoy living for God.
Amen.
That way you won't have to worry about being like Ananias and Sapphira. We'll visit them again. We'll get through this one of these days. But there's times that we need to see some other sides and understand some things that we'll never understand unless somebody confronts us with it.
Amen.
And I don't mind too much carrying the sword and confronting souls. Do you?
Amen.
No. Matter of fact, there's times I wish I had more than sword.
Amen.
Maybe Puff the Magic Dragon. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Anybody? Maybe Puff the Magic Dragon coming through. Now, some of you folks look at me like crazy. Some of you know. But Puff the Magic Dragon was a C-130 loaded with 30-millimeter cannons. And that thing, when it flew over, if there was a golf ball laying on the ground, it got hit.
Amen.
Are you listening to me? I mean, that thing unloaded like you would not believe. If you got in trouble, you call for the dragon to come in.
Amen.
Send the big boy in. But you wanted them to know where you were. That thing went from a DC-3, was that right? Was it a DC-3? And then they went to the C-130. And buddy, when they went to the C-130, we're talking about turning on the daylight. Let me tell you this. In order to keep that airplane from climbing when they were unloading those guns, they had to hold forward pressure on the yoke to keep it from climbing. It was unloading lead so fast.
Amen.
Now, all of you can go out the door tonight thanking God that you're not a Vietnamese on the ground and the big boy's coming over.
Amen.
Because there wouldn't be enough left to you to put in a frying pan. Now, do you understand what I said to you?
Amen.
Hey, just go to war with the devil and know that you're already the winner. Huh? Already the winner. You don't have to wait to get shot up and everything else to be the winner. You are the winner.
Amen.
And if you don't believe that, read the last chapters of the book.
Amen.
You find out that we are winners. Well, Ananias and Sapphira, we'll be back to visit with you. No, we'll just come back to the graveside and look at them. It's a sad thing to try to fool the God of glory.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
what we need to do instead of trying to fool God, just fall on our face and say, God, I'm guilty. I'm guilty. Here I am. I'm guilty. I claim the blood.
Amen.
I claim the blood. Let's stand together.